الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. The question regarding who is الشيخ الألباني رحمه الله. الشيخ الألباني is محمد ناصر الدين الألباني, one of the most distinguished scholars of Islam in these times. And he is considered one of the most distinguished, but rather even the distinguished contemporary scholar of Hadith. And he is a known reference concerning the Hadith convention and nomenclature. Some of the people of knowledge mentioned that he revived the era of Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani rahimahullah and al-Hafidh Ibn Kathir and others. He rahimahullah was born in the year 1333 after Hijrah, corresponding to 1914 of the current era. Muhammad Nasir al-Din ibn son of Nuh al-Albani, born in the city of Ashqudra, the capital of the state of Albania then, from a poor family, raised in a poor family, but a family that was religious, a family that gave attention to knowledge. His father was a reference for people, teaching them and guiding them. Sheikh al-Albani immigrated with his father to the city of Damascus, of the land of Asham, the greater Syria area, comprising contemporary Syria, Jordan, Palestine and Lebanon, and some part of western Iraq, to reside therein. After the king of Albania moved to mesh his country in amongst the secular western states in Europe, Sheikh al-Albani completed his elementary school in a school known as the Charitable Isaaf School in Damascus with excellence. His father, rahimahullah, had a special opinion concerning systematic schooling in terms of the religious acquiring of the knowledge, so he decided not to let him continue under this system, and he placed him under a study program focusing upon teaching him the Quran and Tajweed and linguistics, Arabic linguistics, and the fiqh of al-madhhab al-Hanafi, because his father was a Hanafi, rahimahullah. Sheikh al-Albani memorized, on the hands of his father, the noble Quran, in accordance with the recitation of Hafs an Asim. And he also took knowledge from al-Sheikh Sa'id al-Burhani in the fiqh al-Hanafi. And also took from him linguistics, and in this time also he was keen to attend the durus and lectures of the scholar Bahjat al-Bitar. نعم. Now there is sound. Is there sound? Okay. He took from his father, rahimahullah, the profession of watch repair, and he excelled in that. He was even famous for that. And he used that as a means of earning. And this profession gave him a great deal of time to review and study. And his migration to Al-Sham enabled him to acquire the Arabic language and also the legal sources of knowledge. And despite the direction of his father to focus upon imitating the al-madhab al-Hanafi, the Hanafi school of thought, and warning him not to indulge in studying the hadith, he went just for that, meaning for the studying of hadith and its sciences and its branches. And this was when he was 20 years of age, and he was so much influenced by the research of a specialized magazine known as Majallat al-Manar, the magazine of Manar, which was published by Sheikh Muhammad Rashid Rida, rahimahullah. And the first hadith work he did was transcribing the book Al-Mughni an Haml al-Asfar fi takhrij ma fi al-ihya' min al-akhbar lil-Hafiz al-Iraqi, which was a book of verification of hadith concerning that of Al-Ghazali's book known as Ihya' Ulum al-Din, and also commenting on it. This was a beneficial opening for the Shaykh rahimahullah, because this made him very much occupied with the study of hadith and its knowledge. And so he became known amongst the people of knowledge in Damascus, to the extent that the Al-Maktab al-Zahiriyya, known as the al-Zahiriyya Library in Damascus, gave him a special room there, so as he can carry out his research. Also, they made him a copy for the door of the library to come whenever he wished. As to his works and writings, this began in the 20s, and the first of his fiqh book, which is based upon the evidence and comparative fiqh, is the book, the famous book Tahrir al-Sajid min ittikhad al-Quburi Masajid, warning the as-Sajid, the Musalli, from taking the places of taking the Qubur, the graves, as Masajid. And this was printed many times. And one of his also great books, which is still a manuscript and hadith, which he began at this period, was Al-Kitab al-Rawd al-Nadir, in organizing the Mu'jam of al-Tabarani al-Sagir. Now, the inclination of Al-Shaykh al-Albani to focus upon the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam distinguished him in the impact it had upon him in terms of his methodology of adopting the Salaf's path, that increased and intensified on this manhaj after he began working and reading and the books of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah and Ibn al-Qayyim and others from the renowned scholars of this school of Ad-Dawah al-Salafiyyah. He carried this da'wah to Tawheed and Sunnah in Syria and visit many mashayikh in Damascus, and there occurred between them many discussions about the matters of Tawheed and following, and regarding blind imitation of madahib and innovations. He was faced by very strong opposition from the blind followers of the madahib and from the bigoted blind followers of Sufism and innovators. So they used to agitate the common Muslims against him and accuse him and labeling him that he was a misguided Wahhabi. And they warned the people against him. This is at a time when some of the known meritorious scholars of the time in Damascus agreed with him, and they incited him to continue on this da'wah. From them is Al-Allama Bahjat al-Bitar, rahimahullah, and from them is Sheikh Abdul Fattah al-Imam, who was heading the Society of Muslim Youth in Damascus, and Sheikh Tawfiq al-Bazra, and others from the meritorious people of knowledge then. So he had, at this time, he established durus, classes, twice weekly, attended by seekers of knowledge and some of the university professors. And from the books which he used to do, used to teach in these circles of knowledge, no, there was another scholar from Halab, from Aleppo, a known scholar of hadith. He took from him ijaza, certificate. I have to just wait a minute because I need to get his name. I wrote his name here. Just a second. Try to find it, inshallah. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Yes. The name, I found it, alhamdulillah. The name is Sheikh Raghib al-Tabbakh. Raghib al-Tabbakh. He was a renowned scholar in the city of Halab, Aleppo, in Syria. And he took from him ijaza, al-Sheikh rahimahullah. No. So we continue, inshallah, that. Naam, he took from him. Yeah, but this is another benefit. That's what you need to know, and this is an additional benefit, alhamdulillah. And from the books which he used to teach in the circles of knowledge is the book of Fath al-Majid, which is the explanation, an explanation of the book of Tawheed by Abdurrahman bin Hassan bin Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab. And he taught Ar-Rawda al-Nadiyya, which is the explanation of Sharh al-Durar al-Bahiyya al-Shawkani, the explanation by Siddiq Hassan Khan, rahimahumullah. And he also taught Usul al-Fiqh, the foundation of Fiqh, principles of Fiqh, li-Abdul Wahhab Khalaf. And also he taught Al-Ba'ith al-Hathith, Sharh Ikhtisar Ulum al-Hadith, li-Ibn Kathir, which was explained by Ahmed Shakir, rahimahumullah. And he taught Minhaj al-Islam, and he taught Fiqh al-Sunnah, li-Sayyid Sabiq. He used to travel on regular basis during 1 week of every month. Then that also increased. He used to go to different provisions of the Syria area, in addition to some areas in the Jordan, before he settled in Jordan. And this matter of travel was used by his opponents, who ended up reporting him to the rulers in Syria, who put him in jail. Though he, rahimahullah, was away from the matter of politics, he was jailed twice before 1967 for 1 month in the Qal'a of Damascus, the castle of Damascus, the same jail that accommodated Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah. And he was released during the war of 1967 with other political quote-unquote prisoners. And after the intensifying of the war, he was returned to his jail another time, but not in the castle of Damascus, but in place northeast of Damascus, known as the prison of Hasaka, where he spent 8 months. During this period, he verified the summarized version of Sahih al-Bukhari by Al-Hafiz al-Mundhiri. And he met many known people in the jail. Shaykh rahimahullah used to attend the circles of Al-Allama Muhammad Bahjat al-Bitar, and the College of Sharia in the University of Damascus chose him to work on the hadith of biyu', commerce, that were relevant to the Encyclopedia of Fiqh in Fiqh al-Islami, which the university was determined then to publish in 1955. And also he was chosen one of the members of the Committee of Hadith, which was established during the union between Egypt and Syria in order to supervise the publication of the books of Sunnah and verify them. Also, Al-Jami'a Al-Salafiyya, the Salafiyya University in Banaras in India, chose him to lead the chair of Hadith, but he declined. because it was difficult for him to leave with his family and children, because then the war erupted between India and Pakistan. In the year 1388 after Hijrah, the Minister of Education in the Saudi Arabian Kingdom, Sheikh Hassan bin Abdullah al-Sheikh, asked him to supervise the Department of Higher Islamic Education at the University of Mecca. But due to his circumstances, he could not. He was chosen in between 1395 until 1398 to as a member of the Supreme Council of the Islamic University in Medina. He accepted an invitation to visit Spain, and he gave an important lecture, a classical lecture, so beneficial. It was so important that it was printed, and it was entitled Al-Hadithu Hujjatun Binafsihi Fil Aqaidi Wal Ahkam. Hadith on its own is a proof in matters of creed and rulings. And this is a very, very useful book. I urge everyone to have it. He visited the country of Qatar and gave some lectures in it, particularly the lecture, the distinguished lecture, Manzilatu Sunnah fil Islam, the status of Sunnah in Islam. He was also delegated by Al-Imam Al-Sheikh Abdul Aziz bin Baz rahimahullah to give da'wah in Egypt, Morocco, and in England to the call for the Tawheed and Sunnah. He was invited to many conferences. He attended some and declined many because of his busy schedules in verifying many important matters of knowledge. He visited Kuwait and the Emirates, and he gave many lectures there. He visited also a number of European countries and met some of the Islamic communities there and the Islamic Muslim students there, and he also gave some beneficial talks. The Sheikh rahimahullah had very useful publications and verifications exceeding 100, many of which were translated into many languages, and many were printed many times. From them is Irwa'ul Ghalil fi takhrij ahadith Manar al-Sabil, also the Silsila of the Ahadith, the authentic narrations, and also the Silsila of narrations that are weak and fabricated, and their influence, their bad influence on the Ummah, and also Sifatu Salatul Nabi min al-Takbir ila al-Taslim, the description of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's prayer from Takbir to Taslim as if you see it. And in the year 1419, corresponding to 1999, the committee supervising the choice of the prize of King Faisal, the international King Faisal's prize for Islamic studies, this is a renowned prize, was given to the Sheikh rahimahullah. And it was entitled Al-Juhud Al-Ilmiyya التي عنيت بالحديث النبوي تحقيقا وتخريجا ودراسة. It was focused, the subject matter of the prize then was the efforts that were focused upon the hadith and nabawi. And it was given to a sheikh rahimahullah, Sheikh Muhammad Nasruddin al-Albani, because of the respect of his and appreciation of his great efforts and disregard in serving the hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. As to what the scholars mentioned about him, Sheikh bin Baz rahimahullah, I have not seen, he said, anyone under the sky who's more knowledgeable in hadith in our times, like a Sheikh Muhammad, like Al-Allama Muhammad Nasruddin al-Albani. And when he was asked about the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the Sheikh said about the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that Allah sends at the head of every 100 years someone from this ummah to revive its deen. When he was asked, Sheikh bin Baz, about who is the revivalists of this century, he said, Sheikh Muhammad Nasir al-Din al-Albani is the revivalist of this time, in my opinion, and Allah knows best. And our Shaykh Muhammad bin Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, described him as the Muhaddith al-Asr. The Muhaddith of the era. And he said that the thing which I knew for about the Shaykh through my meetings with him, although they were few, that he was keen on acting in accordance with the Sunnah and fighting the innovations and warding off them, whether this was in the Aqeedah, the creed, or in the actions. And as far as my reading of his books and his publications, then I knew that from him, and that he is of vast knowledge in hadith, in terms of the riwayah, the reports, the texts, and their narrators. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made his books beneficial to many people, our Shaykh rahimahullah added, from the side of knowledge and from the side of methodology and directing to the knowledge of hadith. And this is a great benefit to the Muslims, walillahi alhamd. And as far as his verifications of the hadiths, then this is a matter, and it was so evident. Sheikh Muhammad Amin al-Shanqiti, rahimahullah, he used to respect Sheikh al-Albani a lot, and whenever he saw him passing by while the Sheikh al-Shanqiti was giving his class in the Prophet's masjid, he would stop his class and stand up and give greetings to the Sheikh. And Sheikh Muqbil al-Wadi'i, rahimahullah, also reiterated the same meaning of Sheikh bin Baz concerning the Sheikh, that he is a revivalist of this time. And the last will that the Sheikh rahimahullah left was that he willed that for his wife and his children and his friends and everyone who loves him, that if the news of his death, meaning the Shaykh's death, reaches, and yad'u li, to invoke Allah for me, bil maghfira wal rahma, to bestow mercy and to forgive me, awwalan first, and that they should not wail, or if they cry, they should not raise their voices. And that they should hasten to bury me . And then he assigned a person to wash him by the name of Izzat Khadr Abu Abdullah Jari, my neighbor and my faithful friend, and whoever his neighbor chooses to help him. And that he in his will also he chose that the burial place be the closest, so that people don't need to carry my funeral in a car. And that the grave should be in a old cemetery where it's most likely that it will not be dug. And also he willed then in this that whoever is in his in the place where he dies knows of that they should not inform anyone from my children who are outside the place, in addition to others, except after my funeral, so that emotions don't override and lead to the delay of my funeral. And he said, Sa'ilan al-Mawla, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the protector and helper, an alqahu, that I meet him, وَقَدْ غَفَرَ لِي ذُنُوبِي مَا قَدَّمْتُ وَمَا أَخَّرْتُ, that he forgives me my sins, those that passed and those that were before and they were after. And then I will that all my library, whether the printed or copied or manuscripts written by my handwriting or by others, to be donated to the Islamic University Library in the Medina. Because he said, لِأَنَّ لِي فِيهَا ذِكْرَيَاتٌ حَسَنَةٌ فِي الدَّعْوَةِ إِلَى لِلْكِتَابِ وَالسُّنَّةِ, because in it there I have good memories in the calling for Allah, in the calling for the Book of Allah and His Sunnah, وَعَلَى مَنْهَجِ السَّلَفِ الصَّالِحِ, in accordance with the path of the Salaf, يَمَّا كُنْتُ مُدَرِّسًا فِيهَا, when I was a teacher in it. Rajiyan min Allah ta'ala yanfa'a biha ruwadaha, also hoping from Allah that Allah make a benefit in those who come and use it, as He subhanahu wa ta'ala made me benefit of it. And then he made the dua, رَبِّ أَوْزِعْنِي أَنْ أَشْكُرَ نِعْمَتَكَ الَّتِي أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيَّ وَعَلَى وَالِدَيْ, O Allah, incite me and enable me to give thanks for your favor which you bestowed upon me and my parents, أَنْ أَعْمَلَ صَالِحًا تَرْضَى, وَأَنْ أَعْمَلَ صَالِحًا تَرْضَى, and that I do righteousness that is pleasing to you, وَأَصْلِحْ لِي فِي ذُرِّيَّتِي, and make my offspring righteous, إِنِّي تُبْتُ إِلَيْكَ, I return to you in repentance, wa inni min al-Muslimin, I am from the Muslims. 27th of Jamad al-Ula, 1410. This is the year he wrote it. He, rahimahullah, died before the day of Saturday of the 22nd of Jamad al-Akhir, 1420. Corresponding to the 2nd of October 1999, and he was buried after Salat al-Isha. رحم الله الشيخ رحمة واسعة. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bestow His vast mercy upon the Shaykh and make of his works a benefit for him and for the Ummah. وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.